The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The European Union is planning to ditch Russian gas imports, not now, but by 2030. The EU Commission has launched the Repower EU plan, which aims to free the EU of Russian natural gas before the end of the decade. In 2021, the European Union imported 155 billion cubic metres of natural gas from Putin's Russia, at close to 40% of the EU's entire gas consumption. Now, what is the EU going to do about all of this? Kieran Cuff, Green Party MEP for Dublin, joins me. Kieran, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
At the moment, we are buying gas from them. We pay them money. Well, not us, because we're not dependent on Russian gas, but Europe. And they use that money to bomb the Donbass. Extraordinary and unacceptable.
Absolutely. It is as simple as that. Our money is funding Russia's war in Ukraine. And it's not just about gas. The European Union is importing huge amounts of coal, huge amounts of oil, huge amounts of gas, and also a lot of uranium as well. So it's not just fossil fuels, it's nuclear fuels as well. So the European Union has decided to move away from that, and a bit like moving a supertanker around, we cannot do it overnight. But there is a big move, and last week, Vice President Timmermans, one of the European commissioners, announced the Repower EU initiative. And this is about three things. It's about alternative suppliers for gas in the short term, other than Russia. Then it's the move towards renewables. And then it's a big investment in energy savings. And that will happen, and it is happening. In a nutshell, it's about technologies like rooftop solar panels. It's about heat pumps. And heat pumps was a word that was used in the kind of policy nerd topics up until very recently. Mm-hmm. But now European policymakers and politicians are talking about the need to install lots of heat pumps and to do it in a hurry.
Okay, a friend of mine who's German came back from Germany during the week and said all the people in Germany that she spoke to, all her friends, are appalled at the fact that their own country is still buying Russian gas. And they were willing to take the pain that will be necessary if Germany says no to Russian gas. But the political class don't seem to go along with that feeling among the general population.
I think the views vary depending on who you talk to. And I think a huge amount of people in Germany, in Italy, in Austria, they want to move away from Russian gas. But at the same time, there is a cost of living crisis running all the way through Europe. And if we turn off the taps to Russian gas overnight, it means that energy prices will further increase. And while for a country like Ireland, most of our gas supplies are coming through the UK, still coming from North Sea gas fields, for other countries that are closer to Russia, the vast bulk of their energy is coming from Russia. I was talking to a colleague from Austria. He said that they are 70% dependent on Russian gas. If they were to turn off the taps tomorrow, about a third of their GDP would perhaps come to an end. So it is a huge issue. And that is why the European Union is talking to the United States. It's talking to the Gulf states. It's talking to countries that, you know, some of those countries have difficult human rights records, like Saudi Arabia, Qatar. But there is a need to move away from a country that is fighting a war on European soil against a sovereign European state. And I can understand we need to move. We need to move quickly. But some countries are saying, look, if we move too fast, it would cost too much in terms of
I'm looking at a graphic
on households
from 2019 and the dependence on Russian gas in the Czech Republic. It's 100%, Slovakia 100%, Latvia 100%, Estonia 99%, Finland 97%, Hungary 95%, Bulgaria 79%, Poland 55%, Germany 49%, Italy 47%, Lithuania 43%, Romania 37%, all the way down to Portugal on 2%. Belgium 8%. We're not there because we don't depend on Russian gas. Some of them have obviously managed to secure alternative supplies, but they switched off the gas on Finland, and Finland said, it's okay, we've organized ourselves. We're not going to slow down our economy at all. So are there countries that simply can't do that, can't find alternative supplies, and that will, if you like, stay Europe's hand?
I think there are, and I think a country like Finland has been well prepared for this. They have a 1,300-kilometer border with Russia, and some people in Finland, such as my colleague MEP Heidi Hautala, has been warning about Russia for many years. So it's easy for Finland. But for countries like Bulgaria, for countries like Hungary, they would simply say, we cannot do this. The pain on the citizens would be too high. And I can see where they are coming from. But I think the European Union is trying to pull out all the stops to move as quickly as possible. And that means in the short term to simply try and find alternative suppliers. And actually this weekend I was meeting with United States colleagues, United States Congress members, and they will be providing a lot of the gas that will substitute gas from Russia. So obviously they are happy to help with this move. But I think in the medium to longer term, we have to look at reducing our energy demand. I mean, we can talk about the megawatts, but we need to talk about the negawatts, the energy that we don't use because we have insulation in our attics.
Yeah.
Because
now in Europe, building standards in certain countries and Germany, they would have had high-class insulation for a long, long time. We know that we're probably catching up. All our new bills might be A or B rated, but much of our existing stock is way below that. But we're not dependent on the Russian gas. So, you know, how much saving can be done throughout Central Europe in terms of insulation?
Well, I think a lot can be done. And a lot of the typical buildings in Central Europe are poorly constructed multi-story apartment blocks dating from Soviet times. And I've been engaged with a lot of these countries on what they can do. One of the challenges is the actual property ownership, to get people to work together to decide to do a big retrofit. And sometimes people simply don't have the money to do that. So there are legal challenges in the first instance. There are then financial challenges. But once you overcome them, you can do a deep retrofit. You can put 6 inches of insulation on the outside of these apartment blocks. You can put in a huge heat pump that serves the entire block. You can give people individual heating controls. So we can do this. And I think in many of these countries, the homes that people live in, they have an F or a G energy rating, and they live through extremely cold winters. So the energy, the renewables and the energy upgrades is a good news story. And that's what I'm working on with something called the Energy Performance of Buildings Directive. And the other good news is the financial institutions want to help with this. When you talk to the European Investment Bank, when you talk to the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, they are rebranding themselves as climate lending banks. And they have a lot of money that was made from the profits of the 1% over the years. So they want to give money. They want to give money at low interest rates, because the rate of return is fairly predictable. It's not a very high rate of return, but it is predictable over the next 10, 20, 30 years. So we need to leverage that financing, and we need to find better ways of making that happen quickly.
Now, President Zelensky is currently addressing Davos, the leaders there. He's doing it remotely, and he will undoubtedly repeat his call for a total embargo on Russian oil and gas. And he is expected to say, look, it's the end of business as usual. You just can't keep doing this, giving them money to bomb us.
I think that's a fair point. And if I were in charge, I would try and turn off those taps to Russia tomorrow. But it is really difficult for countries that have long, hard winters and that don't have an alternative. I mean, part of the Repower EU initiative is about filling up the gas tanks that are in the European Union to make sure that we are prepared next winter. Part of it is about doubling the rate of renovations of buildings. But this is a 30-year plan, and even the move away from Russian energy, it cannot be done overnight. I mean, we're quite privileged in Ireland. The coal for Money Point came last year from Russia. We're moving back to bringing in that coal from Colombia in South America. But many other countries don't have that choice in terms of the short-term measures. So we need to listen very carefully to what those countries are saying. My personal view is I think there does need to be a bit of pain. I think we have to be there in solidarity with Ukraine. And Irish people have been doing extraordinary things in terms of opening their doors to displaced people from Ukraine. But I think if you talk to Bulgaria, if you talk to Hungary, they will say that people will freeze in their homes if they are told to turn off the taps to Russia tomorrow.
On that note, Kieran Cuff, Green Party MEP for Dublin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.